confessing sin, accepting our mortal condition, and turning to God in humility. Listen now to the Word of God from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything that is exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." This is the word of the Lord. Please pray with me. Gracious God, it is you who sent forth your word. It is you that created the heavens and the earth, and you that sustains everything by your word, and your word to us is our daily bread. We pray, Father, that we would be receptive, that your word would be like seed that falls on good soil, that comes in, establishes itself, and bears fruit. We know that our own flesh, our own sinful human condition will not produce the fruit that your word will produce. So we humble ourselves before you, asking that you give us what only you can give through the power of the Holy Spirit, and help us receive your word inside so that it may bear fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, there's something that happens in this scripture that is a bit like a basketball coach telling a kid to get off the bench and get into the game, and number 72, get up. And then he says to number 72, "All right now, player, last week you were completely unrelated to the sport of basketball. You had nothing to do with basketball. When you went up to the hoop, it was like you were walking a dog. When you handled the ball, it was like you were knitting. When you put on your basketball shoes, it was like you were putting on fuzzy slippers. A week ago, you had nothing to do with the sport. But today, number 67, today, as you go out on the court, you are the epicenter of basketball itself. The entire activity is you. You are the sport." Well, when the scripture says, once you were darkness, but now you are light, it may seem a little extreme to you, like that basketball coach saying, you had nothing to do with the sport, but now you are the sport itself. Those are the two ideas in that scripture that are hard for me to accept are, once I was darkness, and now I'm light. Other than that, it's pretty easy, because they both seem so extreme. Was I really darkness? Was I darkness when I was baptized in the church as a little kid and sitting crisscross applesauce while the Sunday school teacher moved little Father Abraham across the flannel graph? Was I darkness when I was learning to sing "Michael, Row Your Boat Ashore"? I had no idea why he was in the boat, didn't know where he was going, why it had anything to do with Jesus, but I sang it. Was I darkness when I got the stick of bubble gum for being the first one to look up the Bible verse in the Sunday school class? No. You look at my life, good grades, good church attendance. Was I really darkness? You may be thinking the same thing. I was raised in church. I never joined the Hell's Angels. I don't have any tattoos from my gang involvement. I was never in the backseat of a police car. How are you going to say I was darkness? Hold that thought. Because the other thought is just as difficult. Now you are light. If I were to announce to my friends and relatives, if you're looking for goodness, righteousness, and truth, look no further. It's right here. I am the epicenter of light. I, myself, am light. You are looking for it your whole life. You went on pilgrimages. You are wondering, how will I ever find the light? How will I ever see the light? Look no further. Here it is. It's me. See, both of those statements seem way extreme, too hard to accept, until you add the last part of the sentence, "in Christ." You once were darkness, now you are light in Christ. To say that you're light is about a bit like calling a light bulb a light. When you hold a light bulb in your hand, it's the filament, or the little LED strip in there, that gives off the light. But the... Oh, now I did it. But the whole unit is called a light. Trying to comb your hair backwards is just terrible. Okay. Sorry, I distracted myself. So you are called a light not because you yourself are light, but because the filament, the Holy Spirit, is in you. And you were called darkness because of this. Now, what I'm about to describe is the conversion of the person who wrote the scripture that we're reading today, the Apostle Paul. He was called Saul, and he was persecuting Christians. He was on his way to put some Christians in prison, have their goods confiscated, maybe have their lives put to an end. And he met Jesus, and he went blind. And after 3 days of really intense repentance, where his whole world turned upside down, scales fell from his eyes. He went from darkness to light. The beginning of the section that we read starts in 4:17, Ephesians 4:17. And it says, don't be like the Gentiles who are darkened in their understanding and have lost all sensitivity. In other words, they are blind like Paul was. There are scales covering their eyes. Even if you were a good church kid, before whatever moment it was that happened, that you accepted Christ. Oh, thank you. Did I skip the prayers of the people? I did. All right, sorry. I wasn't reading my paper carefully enough, and I skipped some prayers. We're going to get to those after the sermon. This is live. No editing. So, all right, before you came to Christ, even if you were a good citizen and a good church person, there was a part of you that was hardened toward the Lord and a part of you that was blinded toward the Lord, because even in your goodness, there was a certain surrender that hadn't taken place. A surrender to Christ as Lord, where He is the Master who answers your unanswered questions or lets you live with your unanswered questions, knowing that He is the ultimate answer Himself. But there's a surrender that takes place. It's often mysterious. It's often hard to point back at when it happened, but you know, because your life is surrendered now, that it has taken place. When that change happens, then there is a resurrection inside, a rebirth. That is also described in the book of Ephesians here, the second chapter. Once you were dead in your transgressions, but now you're raised with Christ. So, in comparison, even if you lived a good life before you were raised in Christ, before the inward call of the Holy Spirit came into your heart and you knew Christ as Lord, you were blinded and your heart was hardened even as a good church kid. Even as a person who was dutiful and obedient your whole life, until your heart responded to the internal call of God, that's when that change happened. So, with that as the foundation, knowing that we're like a light bulb that has a filament inside, and that's why the Bible can call us light. Knowing that the light that we have is not our own righteousness, but Jesus, who perfectly fulfilled the law, and who died on the cross for us and took our sins away. With that as the foundation, we can come to the 3 points that this scripture we read today is making. The 3 points that it makes. All right? It is saying that we are as light, the light in us, it creates a sensitivity. We are sensitive to the Holy Spirit as the light of the Holy Spirit is in us. And we find out what pleases God. I shouldn't have made that joke about the Bin Laden cave video, because now that's how this is turning out. But when you become sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you find out what pleases God. Now, once I took the president of a university fishing in November in a kayak down a stream in Iowa, along with another friend. And as we were fishing for brown trout, I heard a cry for help. And there he was, inverted in the kayak in the really cold water. We got him out, and my friend luckily had dry clothes, got him dried off, and went down the river the rest of the way. Got him home. I felt terrible because I invited him to go fishing with me in November, and he ended up in the drink. And I felt terrible about that, but if I'd have known that he lost his wedding ring in that moment, I would have not slept a wink that night. So I found out that he lost his irreplaceable wedding ring, and so I came back with my son's metal detector that I got him for a present. It was a year later, but I dug in the sand where he changed his clothes, and I dug and dug, and on that metal detector, there's a little knob that said sensitivity, and that lets the metal detector find out what pleases the metal detecting person. Metal. The metal detector is looking for metal, and the Holy Spirit is like a metal detector in your heart looking for righteousness, looking for what pleases God. And so I dug and dug. I forgot a shovel, but I dug with a stick, and I found a soda can. I did not find the president's ring. So I lived the rest of my life as the guy who got the president dunked in November, and he lost his wedding ring as a result. I'll have to preach a sermon on remorse some other time. But the point that I'm making is that just as a metal detector detects metal, the light of the Holy Spirit that loves righteousness and goodness and truth, inside you can detect what pleases God. Once I made a terrible ministry mistake. It seemed like the right idea in terms of what they tell you in the books, how to discipline with consistency. I sent three kids home in the middle of the night from an overnighter. But 2 years later, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and showed me the selfishness and pride in my heart that led to that decision. Not a real desire to be a good leader or to do what was best for them, but to do what made me look good. And they dropped out of the youth ministry, and I lost my opportunity to minister to them. I only knew what I had done wrong because the metal detector of the Holy Spirit didn't just say, here are the Ten Commandments and you broke one. It said you made a choice that grieved God's heart, that was out of selfishness. It took some detection, some light for me to see that. All right, sensitivity. The Holy Spirit restores our sensitivity with that light. The Holy Spirit also exposes things that need to be dealt with. When I was growing up, I used to fish with my dad in the drift boat. That's the boat that's in my garage now. It's made for going down rivers. And when the water was high in the river, we'd glide right over the rocks. But when the water is low, you'd have to go around them because the low water exposed the rocks. When they were exposed, they had to be dealt with. Things that are exposed have to be dealt with. And the Holy Spirit will expose things in us that have to be dealt with. Now, right now, we're in a situation where we're stuck at home or we're walking outside 6 feet apart. We're not able to come together and worship in a worship service. And this is going to expose in us a need to become diligent, a need to try hard to do the things that we normally receive help with from one another. Normally, you know, when it comes to praying and worshiping, if you're not doing it at home, it's pretty easy to come together and do it Sunday morning. We say the stuff out loud. We sing out loud together. But the reality is, when it comes to actually praying, actually worshiping, actually loving God, there's nobody that can do it for you. There's people that can do it near you, people that can do it with you. But the worship that you give from your heart to God only comes from your heart, and now it's a challenge. Will you find a way to worship God at home? Will you read a psalm and allow the words to be the words of your own heart as you read it? Will you pray? I hope that you will. The challenge that we're in now is exposing some of the need that we have to grow in Christ. And so, that's what the scripture teaches us here when it says that light exposes what is hid in darkness. Everything that is exposed by the light becomes visible, verse 13. The result then is that we rise up. Wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. That's the final movement in the scripture. We become sensitive, things are exposed, we deal with them. Then, instead of being locked in shame, instead of feeling reprimanded and hiding, no, Christ is risen, our sins are forgiven, so we rise up. And it's time, brother and sister, to rise up in Christ. Now, it may sound for a second when the scripture tells you to rise up, that, oh great, I was looking forward to joining a mob with a pitchfork and a torch and demanding my rights. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about rising up to meet the occasion. And that means it's time to pray. It's time to seek the Lord. We have a great need in our world, in our community, in our hearts. And now is not a time to give in to fear. Now is not a time to give in to despair. Now is not a time to say, well, I used to go to church, but nobody goes to church now. Now is the time to rise up and say, this faith that I've been professing is my faith, and I will live it. I will live it whether I can join together with other Christians in person or not. So I have a challenge for you. I have two challenges. One is to participate in an ancient tradition that goes all the way back to Bible times, and that is to stand and pray with your hands in the air. The Apostle Paul said, I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer. So I want you to take some time this week and meet this challenge to stand and pray with your hands in the air. Believe me, there's plenty to pray about, but I'm not asking you to pray about anything in particular, but meet the Lord. Meet the Lord with your hands in the air and say, I'm rising up. I'm rising up in this time of challenge. I want to pray to you. That's challenge number one. Challenge number two is to call somebody on the phone and pray with them on the phone. And I understand that may be extremely difficult for you. That may be out of your comfort zone. I was already in full-time ministry the first time I ever did that, and I thought to myself, wow, I'm really a holy roller now. I'm praying with people on the phone. This is kind of extreme. So if that seems way past what anything you could ever do, just call me. We'll pray together. If you're too shy to even say that you're calling me to meet my challenge, I'll pray with you anyway, all right? But I really hope that you will call one another in the congregation and long-lost friends and loved ones, and that you'll say, hey, now's the time for us to pray. This is a challenge we've got to meet, so let's pray together. It's time to rise up, because Christ who is in you is risen from the dead. The light that shines in you, that makes you like a light bulb, it's coming from within, but it's shining so that your very self is a witness to Christ. It's time for that light to shine and time for you to meet the challenge and pray. So I hope that you'll be encouraged. I hope that you'll keep reaching out to one another. I hope that you know that in this time of confusion and darkness and where some hearts are hardening, God calls you to be sensitive to what pleases him, and to respond to the challenges that are exposed in this time that we have, to rise up and pray. So may the Lord give us strength as we meet that challenge today. All right. Now we turn to pray the prayers of the people, prayers of the congregation, and I have received some requests for prayer.